This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We think of the notion of human rights as something coming out of the Enlightenment in France with people like Jean-Jacques Rousseau. But as the concept of human rights is changing today, a historian appearing at ISU says finding a foundational moment is more complex than that. Lynn Hunt is the Bone Lecturer for ISU. She's a historian at UCLA and joins us via Skype.
There are many ways that you can approach the question of origins. Some scholars have written about the very long-term origins. One can see certain strands amongst the Greeks and the Romans many, many hundreds of years ago. Other people see strands coming into human rights from writings during the Middle Ages about law and natural right, which was already a concept. I myself have emphasized the 18th century as a time when the political revolutions got people to thinking about the foundations of government, and so they tied the notion of rights to the legitimacy of government, which I take to be a new move when it's attached to a real idea of human rights, that is, universal rights.
Which understanding is most useful for us today in early 21st century America? The idea of human rights coming from Greek and Roman roots of personhood, or the cessation of torture, or the end of slavery, or the Enlightenment version of government legitimacy coming from individual rights?
Different people have different ideas about what means the most to them. But for me, what was really interesting about the 18th century was, in fact, the coming together, for example, of the campaign against judicial torture and cruel punishments, and the campaign for the abolition of slavery, which only starts at the end of the 18th century, and the notion of natural rights or human rights as related to government. So that's the fact that they all kind of come together and are seen as related to each other is what I think is really interesting about the 18th century.
What makes that so important, that coming together that you just said?
What's interesting about this 18th century coalescence of these different campaigns is I think that really helps shape a universal notion of human rights that can be used by people no matter what their country now, no matter what their religious tradition now, no matter what their legal tradition now. It's a way of saying all these things are related to each other because they have to do with the dignity, value, and rights of the individual person, and that applies to everybody. And that, so the coming together of the campaigns in the 18th century, I think, is very important to making rights available to everyone. It's not just the rights of American citizens, or the rights of British citizens, which had been articulated already in the 17th and 18th century, but the rights of everyone, everywhere.
With each evolution of philosophy, something else is gained, something else is considered. What do you think is the next iteration?
Well, one of the interesting things about the what I've been calling the logic of rights, or the dynamic of rights, is that actually you can't predict what is going to be the next demand until you have a kind of articulation of where you are now. This is why I'm so interested in the dynamic of the French Revolution, because they declare rights in this very universalistic language. And the first thing that happens is they have to decide on who gets the right to vote. And all of a sudden they realize, oh, we didn't really intend for everyone to have the right to vote. We wanted property holders to have the right to vote. We wanted adults to have the right to vote. We wanted men to have the right to vote. But what about, we said there's religious freedom. So does that mean Protestants have the right to vote? Well, yes, it does mean that. Does that mean Jews have the right to vote? Huge discussion. Does it mean women should get the right to vote? Huge discussion. Does it mean that slavery is unacceptable? Another huge discussion. So I was really fascinated by the way that the minute you articulated the notion of rights, all these groups stepped forward and said, well, that must mean us, because you said all men. You didn't say some men. You didn't say white men. You didn't say Catholic men. You didn't even say French men. So you can't predict what's going to happen. The people who did the Declaration in France in August 1789 had no interest in abolishing slavery. And yet they found themselves abolishing slavery 5 years later. So people understood that there was a kind of dynamic, but they had no idea where it was going to lead. So now, for example, the achievement of rights for homosexuals came as a huge surprise to probably everyone. The minute that was articulated, the issue of transgender people came up in a way that had never come up before. So it's very hard to say what the next frontier is going to be. I myself think it's going to be animals. The whole question of how animals should be treated and whether they have rights or not, whether rights are only for humans. One could even argue there are going to be discussions about the globe that we inhabit, the earth, the environment, and possibly even plants, which are being discussed in ways that I never thought plants would be discussed before. So who knows what will actually come up as a demand. Certainly animal rights is already on the agenda for some people. I don't think it's very widespread yet. But that's what I mean about the unpredictability. Who knows what is going to come up?
Lynn Hunt of UCLA spoke with us via Skype. She's the author of Inventing Human Rights, A History. She's also the Bone Lecturer at Illinois State University. Her speech is Why the History of Human Rights Matters at 7 p.m. tomorrow in the Prairie Room of the Bone Student Center. The event is free and open to the public.